You're listening to HG 101, a proud part of the Greenlit Podcast Network. Hey there, loyal listeners. As you know, the Top Games Podcast is made possible by Hardcore Gaming 101's Patreon supporters, who help keep this show alive by donating as little as $2 each month. If you were to join them in doing that, you would not only help keep the lights on at HG 101 Towers, you'd also get access to our super secret Patreon RSS feed, which is full of ad-free versions of this podcast with exclusive bonus game rankings. Here's a taste of what you've been missing.
We should maybe get to the point on what the hell Police Knots is.
Mankind creates its first space station. They decide to put five policemen up there. One of them is in an accident, never to be found again until his cryo ball, which was with him, is miraculously discovered.
It's all about how a guy from 2010 is struggling to adapt to the year 2040. So he remembers the good old days when everybody smoked cigarettes, like regular old cigarettes, and just puff, puff, puff. These jerk-offs are out here smoking non-combustible cigarettes like wieners.
That's a Kojima character detail right there.
Yeah.
If only he swallowed a carton of cigarettes in 2010 and then regurgitated it in 2045. Go to patreon.com/HG101 and pledge a couple bucks. That's patreon.com/HG101. Act now and be a hero.
Some, this is painfully obvious, but hardcore gaming means it ain't for the novices. The main source to brain train your knowledge, a lane maintained with a course aimed at colleges. To HG 101, we give the honor, thanks to Kirk, a lot of Xerxes to host it proper, as well as Satanga, Cal and Bobinator, Ogre Hart and others discuss and discover all the 47,000 games, and when they rate them, you can bet it's scientifically locked in position. Speaking of which, no system is obscure, and look, they wrote a book about it, go out and cop yours.
Hello and welcome to HardcoreGaming101.net's top 47,858 games of all time podcast, where we objectively, definitively, and scientifically rank the games that you nominate. My name is Xerxes, and I'm the show's main host and producer, and on this podcast we have three rules. Rule 1, all rankings are final, official, and scientifically accurate. Rule 2, you can nominate one game at a time via 5-star review on iTunes or Stitcher. Those are the ones we try to get to first. You can also go to bit.ly/rankthisplease. and add a game to the slush pile and cross your fingers. We make no guarantees on those. Rule number 3, you can nominate games that have already been nominated, but just don't nominate games you've already ranked. See the master list for yourself. It's at bit.ly/47kgames. That's bit.ly/47kgames.
Dog's power. Hey, dog's power. Hey, dog's power. Hey, dog's power.
Oh, I have a bad feeling about this.
All right, and we are at another Top Games podcast recording for Hardcore Gaming 101, and we are doing Breakdown! Not to be confused with Beatdown, a game that you will always confuse this game with for the rest of time. This was nominated to us by at MeatFrame4Boogie, I don't know. You know, Booga, I guess. I assume a second person, Wonderful Flesh Automaton on Apple Podcasts, which...
So did we have two separate people nominate this wonderful game?
I think it might be the same person, because they're both meat-themed. So if they're two different people, that's very impressive that apparently meat likes this video game.
Yeah, this game is a strong meat-related audience.
No, but it was Mortal Kombat that had meat.
It doesn't have a lot of meat in this game. Which you'd think it would, but there's a hamburger. There's only like three. The game was developed by Namco. Just Namco? There's no...
Just Namco. It's Namco people.
Surprisingly.
Because I know that it kind of flags in the game when you boot it up. It kind of says Project Breakdown. Team Project Breakdown. But I guess they're just inside Namco, just formed to make Breakdown, I guess.
Yeah, I looked at the people who made Breakdown and they weren't like anybody... Everybody fancy.
This is their grimdark phase before they lightened up with Katamari Damashi.
They weren't anybody, is the quote for people that made Breakdown. It was published by Namco in the USA, and for some reason, EA in Europe, which is weird. I do have a European copy of the game here, and it is just covered in the term, like, Namco is written all over it, but in the manual... it does say, call the EA helpline for tips and tricks. So even though there's no real iconography on the box, it is apparently EA published it in Europe for some reason.
that means Namco didn't have any faith in the game in Europe, but EA was like, yeah, we'll give it a shot. But I guess you guys got the better you guys got the better cover art of the dude punching the breakdown logo.
I love the cover art because it's the dude punching the game, which is the best genre of box art is like guy punching the game itself.
It's also better than the American one, which is just the clenched fist, which is now like the Arthur meme.
Is it a red clenched fist, or am I thinking of the Japanese box? Maybe
it's a red clenched fist. The Japanese one is box art is really cool because it's like an American movie poster.
Yeah, you know
which
what?
Is what this game is like an American movie, basically.
As we've kind of mentioned, the game I believe we completely missed that. It's actually an Xbox game, an Xbox
exclusive,
Xbox exclusive FPS made in Japan. That is not a sentence that should exist.
It's the only one, basically. It was published in Japan as well, I assume by Namco. We've got the release date as January 29, 2004, Japan. Or as you might call it, the sort of the release date, you put games out to die. You've missed Christmas, everyone's tired, back to work. Not a good time to release a game, although I don't know the Japanese holiday season. I'm Carl.
I'm Kurt Coletta.
And I'm Sotenga Johnson.
And Breakdown is, it's a game by a country famous for basically not understanding FPS games. We don't understand JRPGs at all. We're terrible at making them, which is just absolutely shocking.
We were terrible at making them. We've been getting better.
We're getting better. Okay.
But they never got the chance to really polish up their first-person shooter expertise, which is unfortunate. Because you think there would be more Japanese developed, at least Xbox first person shooters, and there weren't.
The only major Japanese FPS outside this I can think of was a Do Megawad, the Japanese community project.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
doesn't really count, but it is a pretty impressive set of levels. It even has a weapon set to go with it. But I've been playing a lot of Doom mods lately, so I've been in an FPS mindset, and this game doesn't go like how your typical FPS goes. Can it even be really called an FPS because you're only shooting for like a quarter of it?
So I want to double check, just before we do get angry letters from one person who's a stickler. It's first-person shooters specifically that are kind of not all out and about. There are plenty of Japanese first-person games. Also, is Resident Evil 7, was that produced by Capcom in Japan?
Yeah, that was a Capcom game.
Because that is a great, and it is probably a first-person shooter. You can call it a survival horror. But
technically it does count.
You get guns, it's first-person.
You can still call this game an FPS if you just call it a first-person smacker.
Or FPP, first-person puncher.
Yeah, we've got to keep up the acronym. Yeah. It's terrible, but
anyway, this is Breakdown. You start off with Amnesia, so you know it's 2003. And, 2004? 2003? I thought it was 2000. All right, I guess I got my
2004, but it's the same.
Right, yeah.
Same period.
I swear I thought it was... Yeah! The game has... What?
Off with Amnesia.
Amnesia. I'm looking at the box here. It says, Breakdown, copyright 2003 Namco. Okay? My box says 2003. Help me out.
I'm looking at mine, but it's like they make the game in 2003, but it doesn't actually come out till the next year or so, so...
Yes, okay, that's why I'm getting confused.
Yeah, my box is the same thing, too.
It all says 2003. Okay, right. So
but anyway, it starts off with not only Amnesia, but lots of cryptic stuff happening. you see the characters, like the game's like secondary main character is basically like a Japanese Carrie Ann Moss who sort of like warps in, does something backward that warps back out of reality.
And also her name is Alex. Just so you know, her name is Alex, spelt like the name Alex. Your character's name is Derek, spelt with two R's, and it's Derek. And... everyone just refers to him as Cole, which is confusing, because sometimes they call him Derek. Yes, his name is Derek Cole. I don't know Alex's... I'll find Alex's last name, but... and it's... You start in a hospital bed, too. You got, like, the whole trifecta going on here. Amnesia, hospital bed, cryptic nonsense, and you have to save the world. Or she says something, like, very, you know...
It's like, you promised you wouldn't let me die. It's, like, all drama from...
Yeah.
Well, after they give you through like the little in-game tutorial where they like, do you still know how to move? Press the R button.
I'm not going to lie. On surface level, this game seems painfully generic at first. You have to... Yeah, it's one of those you have to kind of give it a chance before the real game begins sorts of deals, which in the year of our Lord God 2019, not everyone's willing to tolerate. I know that. That's why I never played Persona 4, so.
It's weird because, like you said, it's more of a first-person puncher, but the game doesn't even really start off with that. Like, it teaches you how to punch, but... you're actually shooting bad guys at first.
At first, you're just taking on the military who's trying to kill you. And like I said, generic as crap. It's basically a Half-Life ripoff.
I mean, the start of the game is you get given a gun before it tells you about the melee system. It actually presents it gun, then melee. It doesn't even work its way up. It's weird.
But the fighting is really like the emphasis of this game, because most of the guys you fight, you can't shoot them.
Yep. The Talon, the villains in the game, which... honestly, I never really satisfactorily explained, as far as I know. The whole game is sort of centered around them and their stuff, but they just seem like assholes that showed up to destroy the Earth, basically. They're like aliens from another dimension or another planet, or it's... I don't freaking know.
Wait, aren't they possibly, like, former humans who have been terribly mutated by an alien substance or something, also, maybe?
Maybe they live in a whole other plane of existence. It's just... it's weird. And the
game, they exist to be punched.
They do exist to be punched, but not shot, as you will never be able to shoot them. Oh, can I mention Alex's last name is Hendrickson? Which is... I think they just stole that from a character in a movie or something.
I did like that this game is... it is very similar to Half-Life, which is one of the reasons I like this game, because I feel like Half-Life was like the super... super defining FPS, and then Halo came out, and then for a generation, everybody was just trying to be Halo instead of Half-Life.
I definitely think this one really feels like the developer, or whoever was sort of pitching this one, basically played at Half-Life and went, whoa, this is cool. We should make something like this.
There are two main things that makes this different other than the punching. Is the first is that you have the characters that are, like, it's very immersive. So you can actually see your character's feet and legs and arms, which is something that a lot of FPS games kind of ignore.
I mean, you can kind of tell even with this game, because when you look at your character, all your movements are so... like, from first person.
The other thing is, like, all the other characters, this is a lot of secondary characters, and they're always, like, talking straight at you, they're grabbing you, they're... moving across or forcing you to puke into a toilet.
Super immersive Colocan experience.
And yeah, and that's puking. The same thing that Half-Life 2 ended up doing to better effect, ultimately. But this game actually predated it by
this game
a year.
Is quite confused about how it's doing it, though. Especially with the... a lot of the time, there's one specific cutscene I remember where you meet Glenn. And Glenn is kind of...
wasn't his name Gianni?
No, Gianni is a different guy. Glenn is the older scientist.
Oh, damn it. Whoa, I suck. You're right. Glenn is basically like the...
Glenn is the scientist.
...kindly old doctor from an anime who knows everything. He's Dr. Light. Let's go with that.
Now, what he does is when you walk in, it's like you go in this really, genuinely quite impressive room by 2004 standards. And... then he doesn't really start talking, and I had to kind of, like, awkwardly shuffle around the room, and then he, like, triggered his talking bit, and he kind of is facing the wrong direction to me, and goes, when we did the thing, it was not a good thing. And then he kind of half-turned around in a direction that I wasn't in, and continues his spiel, and I'm like, wait, hold on, I need to get, where am I supposed to stand that this conversation makes sense? Because he's just kind of... articulating in all the wrong directions for me to make sense of what's going on.
So, but this game has a little bit of Japan jank, is what you're saying.
Well, around this time, even, like, they were trying games that were trying to be cinematic and immersive, but trying to combine the two and trying to figure out weird ways to do it. Like, you know, even in Half-Life, like, when somebody was telling you something important, you could just go, like, dick around in the corner and the game didn't really care. Yes. Or even, I think it was Gears of War that, like, introduced that button. That was like, hold down this button and we'll show you what we want, the designers want to show you.
I mean, Gears of War does indeed have the focus button, where you just kind of look, where you, the thing.
Yeah, game doesn't have that, and also it's, you know, a little glitchy.
This game does have the impertinent AI. As you just mentioned, you can go dick around in a corner. In this game, if you dick around in a corner Alex will bitch you out, and it's actually really annoying.
She yells at you like right in the beginning when she's like, you gotta pick up your body armor, and then if you don't do it immediately, she's like, what are you doing, you asshole?
Yeah, like if you walk away while she's talking, she will just dead stop, be like, are you even listening? And
so she's basically that girlfriend meme.
And it's actually kind of annoying because you don't have a way to interact with that sort of thing. So, you know, you have to do things like pick up guns and then unload the gun and then take the magazine and then put the magazine away. Like that's how you get more ammunition in the game.
Super immersive gaming simulator.
And it is, it's cool, but it means that, you know, she's talking. So I'm like, look, I'm just going to reload all my guns over here because, you know, I got all these guns and I don't want to wait. And no, she cusses you out for not doing that. But also because it's kind of jilted in a way, she like starts a sentence and then stops and then starts again. And it's like, it's not, you know what it's trying to do, but it's also very, very rough around pretty much every single edge that exists. I would like to talk about shooting a gun in this game, which is literally impossible.
It's so weird because it's like, this definitely came from a Japanese perspective that they didn't, either they didn't understand or they didn't trust Japanese gamers to understand how to play a first-person shooter, so you have a lock-on.
You have a lock-on, and it's used for the punching as well. And
it kind of makes sense for the punching.
Yes.
Because it's just an extension of like the Z-targeting system from Zelda.
Yeah, I mean, the enemies move around quite a bit, and you are in first person, so you get very disorientated very quickly. Especially if you don't have the lock-on, because the enemy will do a moving punch, and then they'll be off your screen, and you have no idea where they are. But the guns are basically set to negative 100% accuracy, or is that 0% accuracy? What? You can't hit with a gun in this game. It is physically impossible. Your bullets have, like, a cone that is the entire screen. I don't understand it at all. And that's right, isn't it? Like, you press the shoot button, and your bullet just goes wherever it feels like.
It doesn't feel right. The shooting is very bad.
Like, the best way to use the guns is basically as rapid-fire fists. You just get as close to someone as possible and shoot as quickly as possible.
I want to say it's a good thing that shooting isn't necessarily the main focus in this game, but it feels like that it is put in a lot more than it should be.
It's kind of one of those cases where they probably didn't feel like the punching and everything else was enough, and they needed have something that was, I guess, comfortable and expected, but it just was not done very well. It's just similar, like, this is pretty similar to Mirror's Edge, which is instead of, like, the punching, it's all about platforming, but the EA was like, well, we can't have somebody running and jumping. They gotta be shooting someone. So it ends up getting tacked off.
When did this game come out compared to Mirror's Edge? Like, a decent amount before, right?
About four years ago.
Mirror's Edge was 2008, 2009.
Because I will mention that of the things this game does right, and honestly, I think it gets almost everything a bit wrong, the same is actually a really genuinely good first-person platformer. It makes you do too much of it. Like, the entire last third of the game is just basically jumping for, again, like a Half-Life comparison in a way. Like, the last third of this game is just suddenly, now you can use the jumping system for ages, which is weird. But what it does is you jump, your character grabs ledges, and because it's in the game, that you physically see him grab the ledge, so it's never confusing, pulls himself up. You've got air control in a way that's not realistic, but you just kind of can slightly speed up or slow down or lean to the side in the air. I don't know, like, that, now knowing that EA, was sort of, had this game go through their hands, I do wonder if that somebody was at least somewhat inspired by this one to make Mirror's Edge, because it has a very similar feel to the way you bump the world, you know, like your physics, because Mirror's Edge, you're physically in that space as well. It's one of the other rare games where you kind of a full body in the game. But this game.
There's not enough buttons on the Xbox controller. No. So it makes you use the black button to jump, and it's just anytime you need to just reach down there and press that button, it's just
So I was playing this game on the 360. This
game's backwards compatible to some extent, right?
I can't tell you for sure because I never put it in an original Xbox. Is also compatible on the Xbox One, and I think it might be slightly better on the Xbox One, actually.
Oh, that is so nice of them.
As far as I understand, it does work on the Xbox One, so, you know, pick up a copy. It's expensive. I don't know why. But the only problem I really had that was definitely a problem was the light sources. The texture of the light, like the transparent texture that, you know, when you look at a light, you would get, like, the... You know, like, just the white edge of the light that kind of hits your eye when you look at a light. It's very bright when you look at it. You know what I'm
talking about. Like a lens flare?
Kind of, but, like, without the rainbow. Just, like, the blazing center pot. A reason I'm going on about this is I could see that through the level. not all lights, and not throughout the whole game, but definitely I could just see through, like, specific light sources just kind of... magically beamed to me instead of being properly culled out, which is obviously an emulation issue with the 360. But
I don't know if this is a statement or just incompetence, but this game is really, really, really gray for a huge chunk of it.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, that's like every Western game that came out during that time.
It's like, were they trying to affectionately copy Western games or like just...
It's a little bit of column A and a little bit of column B, because parts of this game, like, the characters look really, really good, mm-hmm. which makes sense because they're always in your face. But the environments almost always look bad.
It gets somewhat better when you get to a bit of a revelatory part in the game. I mean, I wouldn't say it looks great, but it eventually looks weirder and more nature-y.
Some very strange, was Halo out at this point? It wasn't, right? Or was it?
Oh, yeah, Halo was a...
2001.
It was, that's right. No, sorry, I'm getting confused because basically this game basically goes to become Halo. It just does that for, you go through, I'll say you just go through a door and it becomes Halo, essentially. You even get to drive a Jeep. It's that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like, you suddenly go from interior warship grays to basically... outside landscapes, and you drive around in a Jeep, which is very strange to sort of suddenly go from that. It does kind of feel like Halo smashed up a little bit with Half-Life. It's weird in that regard. But I feel like the starting of the game, the whole intro area, is basically we've managed to get the metal texture, the metal object, the metal material looking pretty good. So what we're going to do is the next... 3 hours of the game, it's just this metal texture. That's it. And it gets exhausting, and I say it's a problem with the level design, and it's probably not really Half-Life or Halo-ish in that just contemporary-ish games. It's basically just corridors. So many corridors. It really scooped people on the corridors. The very latter portion of the game, there's some bigger open spaces, but goddamn, the start of the game is just corridors and rooms. And not big rooms. Like, rooms that kind of feel like they're scaled, like, ooh, okay, if we make this room any bigger, the game will collapse under the strain of rendering the room, so they're all very small. You can always tell in a game that has limited system resources, you know, that they've kind of made things very small and compact so that it can... physically render it. And then you look outside and there's like seven triangles and a grass texture.
although there are a few, let's call them freak out spots to break out the monotony, where extremely bizarre things happen, like bloody faces on the wall speak to you, or like you see yourself riding a conveyor belt that you were just on a minute ago, and other stuff like that.
It's so strange. This is going to get into... You called the game generic. You said it starts generic, which is kind of true. But the actual game itself and the underlying plot is kind of like five or six separate generic plots strung together in a way that makes almost no sense. It's like just... It's crazy. And it's good in the way that you're like, wow, I literally have no idea what's going to happen next. Because... it doesn't make any sense. The game covers, like, six genres. It's got horror and beat-em-up and shooting and, you know, you've got some light, I guess, puzzle and adventure elements. There are a few bits where you've got to mess around with, like, a railway and stuff in order to drive your stupid railway car into a tank. This is stuff that happens. It's weird. Also, you get a rocket launcher in this game. The only weapon in the game that's actually accurate, which is...
have to use it to fight. The decade of the 2000s most favorite boss to use, a freaking helicopter.
Right, there's the helicopter, which is so...
Yeah, that part sucks. I'm sorry.
This game has a very good late 90s, early 2000s vibe in that, like, the opening cinema very... Or just the opening in general very much wants to be, like, The Matrix.
Yeah, you've got the lady, Alex, inexplicably has Matrix powers. Nobody else has them, and she's never explained why she has them.
Because she's just super cool.
Yeah, she runs on the walls, she jumps up behind things and does, like, the stab in the back, backflip, punch kind of stuff. But never explained why, she just does it.
And the game ends with a, you know, reasonably decent nu metal song, which is, you know, dated now and was a little cheesy at the time, but was still...
It's a game.
Badass, yeah.
The music is all over the place, too, just to cover the whole spectrum of genres. It's got some very light, not very interesting industrial... it tries some atmospheric stuff. And then it has some, like, full orchestra bits as well, because why not? Just throw whatever you felt like in the game. Yeah. Voice acting's not bad, by the way. People have accents that actually exist, which is very impressive, by the way.
Yeah, there's that weirdo Slavic scientist lady.
Yes, Stefania, who is Polish.
Oh, right. She said, yes, Polish.
It says it in the manual. I've got the manual right here. I'm just reading it. She speaks with a slight accent. It's just kind of general, like you said, Slavic. It really is just somewhere in Eastern Europe kind of accent, but
pretty much.
She doesn't ham it up too much. But she also exists in the plot and just kind of, you meet her and she's just like, hello, you must be Derek, who I know about. And then she just leaves through a door and shows up like 6 hours later.
I will say this game certainly tries to be interesting to the storytelling, but I think that the evolving medium of storytelling in games was still sort of a work in progress. It wasn't quite up to Metal Gear levels yet.
It wanted to tell every single story that existed all at once. It's so greedy about its storytelling. Like, to the extent that you basically go to the future and fight Terminator for no reason, and then you just...
Yep.
It just does that. Why not?
Yeah, speaking of Terminator, I want to say the main sign that the game that you're playing was made in Japan is that you're stalked by Sephiroth.
Right, he keeps showing up, and he talks with the lamest, freaking, like, evil Terminator voice, because,
Solus, as he's known, is inexplicably a Bishonen, whereas every other Talon is a, you know,
I love it. They're all just muscle
freak.
Bald men. They're all muscly bald men. That's the developer.
With glowing eyes, but he looks a bit more humanoid for some reason.
And none of them wear shirts. They hate shirts.
They're all completely naked and covered up by black armor plating, which seems to be like some sort of naturally generated Talon mutation or something.
Everyone in this game that you fight is basically a shirtless guy. I don't know if the developer is... has a particular interest going on at that point, because they really all into it. None of them, they're just... And yeah, you got Solus, and he is handsome and stupid as shit, because goddamn. Stenga, maybe you know the movie. It's like Terminator, but it's way much of a knockoff, and I think it might have had Rutger Hauer or one of the Germans in it, doing like a... I think they were an alien or something. And it was like, they kept saying, like, I bring peace, or I am peace, or something, and then they murder people. Like, what's the...
This sounds familiar. Give me a moment.
Okay, you do that. But while you do that, like, Solus has, like, he speaks like a computer, so it's just, like, he sounds so lame, because he's, like, query lodged, prepare to fight.
Is I Come in Peace the movie you're thinking of?
I think so. Does he murder a bunch
of people? Wasn't Rutger Hauer, but that was Dolph Lundgren.
Dolph Lundgren, that's definitely it. Yeah.
Yes.
He speaks like the guy in that. I know that's... No one will get that except Satanga now, I guess.
Oh,
but...
music by Jan Hammer. I need to see this one. It sounds right up my cheesy ass.
It's... Yeah, it's the movie. And this is a game. I hate the button inputs in this game. Why are they so restrictive? They really suck. The inputs are so hard to get out. It's very frustrating.
I don't think they make much sense.
Point of order. Inputs on console FPSs are always pretty imperfect, but this was an era where, for better or worse, games that were initially intended to be totally PC-centric were being retooled to be more console-friendly, and I don't know if this was a bastard result of that, but...
Well, because this is definitely a console game. It is absolutely a console game. Everything about the screams console game, least of which it's a Namco game. But it, sort of, to pull off most of your moves, we haven't, we'll rank the game very shortly, I promise you this. To pull off the moves, because you do have a lot of moves, you've got right trigger and left trigger, and that corresponds to right punch and left punch. You're in good company right now, because that makes sense. But after that, it gets kind of messy, and to do a lot of the moves, you gotta tap a direction and then press one of the shoulders, and for reasons that are unclear, you've got basically SNK timing inputs here. If you put the button in at even slightly wrong, you won't do the move, which is very bad because your character is slow as shit. It's really frustrating because if you try and do the best move in the game, the only move in the game worth using, which is tap forward and left trigger, because then Derek takes a step forward, which means you move towards the enemy. And then he does, like, one of those big, like, head kicks, you know, like, he lifts his leg off the ground straight all the way up, you know, like, the full extension, like, split kick upwards thing. He does one of those. It does way more damage than everything in the game for no reason. I just used it the whole game.
Actually, I thought the best move was the slide kick into the uppercut.
Slide kick in the uppercut is pretty good. It's my other favorite move. The thing I don't like about that one is sometimes I manage to not do the input, and then you're in a lot more trouble, because then you just kind of stand there and punch, and then you get beaten up, which is probably something that's definitely what I hate about this game. That's what I genuinely hate, is the moment you have to fight more than one person at once, and you will have to fight several people at once for most of the game. If you mess up, the other guy will just walk up to you and punch you, and then you'll get knocked to the ground, because...
I'm not gonna lie, this game is piss poor crowd control. You get this, like, superhero, like, rippling shockwave attack to kinda help, but you can only do that so many times. It, like, takes special energy to use.
That's right.
You better use that move wisely, or you're just gonna get beaten down by a bunch of large, naked men.
It's true! It's so many men, and they will surround you constantly. Constantly surrounded by the men of this game. You'll enter a bit, and then four of these shirtless guys, who are muscly and have white eyes and are bald, will just start walking at you like, here comes the boys to beat you down. And I'm like, oh crap, I'm in a lot of trouble right now. And they will beat you down a lot. Also, there's the giant ones, which are actually easier to deal with. And some of them have lasers, which are also easy to deal with. Basically, this game, also for reasons, it's so broke-ass. So much of this game is broke-ass. I was playing it on normal, and I feel like I've beaten the hardest game in the world. There's more difficulties.
Kyle, to be fair, this game's not Cobra Triangle. I have beaten it.
It is difficult, though. Tricky.
It can be hard and not always for good reasons.
Most of it's for bad reasons. I really wish the inputs were friendlier. Also, the enemy later on in the game, the late game, they get the ability to block. Oh, God, I hate
the guarding Talon are... They're worse than an SNK boss.
Because... They just block when they feel like it, right? And they don't block left or right, they just block. So you run up and you're like, I'm gonna punch ya! And they're like, no. And then you sort of stand there like a jackass, like, ah. So you swing again, and obviously they're still blocking. And then one of their buddies is like, hey, air kick!
I can't help but think that the developers thought when they made the guarding Talon that they thought it was so clever, like, the AI is adapting, they're learning to do what you can, and it's very immersive and neat, and no, it's just tedious!
The game basically spends the whole game giving you powers, and then immediately making the game so hard that it's actually harder than before you got the powers.
Yeah, this game is the very definition of moving the goalposts, as it were.
It's But I do appreciate all the things that it attempts to do, even if basically all of it is absolutely not done successfully. It's very unique. I jokingly said that there's, as I'm getting my ass beat by a bunch of guys, really is no other game like it.
Yep. I kind of admire Breakdown for what it tries to do, but I guess there is a lot that it doesn't really get right, that it's not an easy game to recommend for everybody to play. I want to say the crowner of this comes where after, I'm going to, mild spoilerish, but I'm going to try and keep it vague. After a very climactic fight in the game, with the best music playing, by the way, basically all hell breaks loose, everything goes wrong, and you basically lose. But then an incredibly weirdo plot twist kicks in that is right out of an anime, and you become the most powerful you've ever been. And then what the game decides to do with this newfound power is send you back through a large chunk of the game that you just played with absolutely no changes whatsoever. You can shortcut through a few parts now that you are super powered, but it feels like a troll that you have to just redo the game. It's like, I've already beaten this. It's like, you know, I got an A on this test, and yet you're forcing me to retake it? It's...
That reminds me, other than, yes, it literally does that, and I thought it was going to be so clever with it, but it's not. You just do the same thing again, basically, but you're slightly stronger. When you mention that, that bit, some of those bits, I just walked away from the enemies. Like, a lot of this game, I was just like, I'm not fighting you, your pathfinding can't find me, see you later, loser, and that was half the game for me.
So you're trying to go for a Paragon run.
Now, apparently. Yeah, so what was your final note?
After you catch up to the part that, to the end of the part that you did before, you then get into the most frustrating gauntlet of fights that the game has to offer. You thought it couldn't get any worse, but there's just one huge segment where you basically have to take on every enemy type of the game, and you get set back to the beginning of this gauntlet if you lose. And I must have done this part like 20 times and it broke me.
It sucks, and I managed to beat that part my first try, and I was sweating the whole time. I was like,
I figured out the secret. I kept screwing up the last part where I was distracted by enemies I shouldn't have been fighting. And I should have just gone for the target that I needed to kill right away. But the game should have made this clearer. I felt like I was kind of hornswoggled.
It's so hard, and it's so mean, and... that's so rough. All right, so,
that I will bit, say, I
told you, high kicks, just use the high kicks, it does twice as much damage, I promise you this.
Yeah, like actual martial arts, it's not all the crazy fancy moves that you should rely on, it's your most basics.
Mm-hmm. So, can't put it above Nier at 338, can't do it, I don't think that's...
334 is still there, by the way?
Is second
to nine. Yeah, I'm just, okay. I'm still scrolling through the list to see where...
Kurt has been trying to rank this game formally while we've been just yammering on.
about a game that I'm not sure how much it deserves it. I mean, I liked this game a good deal when I played it, but it also frustrated the hell out of me. Is this what art gaming feels like? I don't know.
It's definitely, it is very much a cult classic sort of game in that it's, in the same way, there's a lot of movies that are like bad, but there's a lot of interesting things about it that make it worth going back to. And so, like, I've sort of alluded to it, but I really hated this era of first-person shooters. like Halo itself is not that bad of a game, but it just feels like it kind of took out everything I liked about that game and just wrecked it until maybe Doom 2016 came out. Outside of stuff like BioShock and a couple other games that I thought were pretty decent.
Yeah,
and
when it comes to a zeitgeist, it's not often the game that starts it. It's the wave of imitators that pollute the market. It's kind of like inflation in a way.
For as janky and bad and frustrating as this game could be, pretty often be, like, I would still rather play it than almost every other first-person shooter from the Xbox, PlayStation 2 era.
Yeah, Kurt,
like,
would you
maybe
this...
Like,
sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
Would you prefer this over Deus Ex Invisible War?
Well, that's kind of different, though. I liked Invisible War just because
actually kind of did, too.
There were so few games like that in that era that even though it was like markedly worse in the first game, just the fact that games like that existed, I appreciated.
That's fair. Well, and I mean, like, is there a game that you have in mind that you would rather play Breakdown over than that?
Chronicles of Riddick was a better game on most fronts.
Yes.
It doesn't have the quite crazy ass story. As far as like standard first person shooters, Time Splitters, those games were better than a lot of the other ones.
One of the Time Splitters is it Time Splitters Future Perfect that has a better time travel level than this entire game?
Mm. That's about right.
Is that the one?
Okay, but what was a bad FPS from this time? Or an overrated one?
Any, pick one.
I'm going to... Call of Duty? Is that a hot take? I don't know.
Well, Call of Duty didn't really become like a console thing until the Xbox 360 era, yeah, which was a couple years later.
Actually, okay. You know, one that I really like that you haven't mentioned is Urban Chaos Riot Response, which is Xbox and PS2. That one's fantastic.
But people told me that game is pretty good, but I never got around to playing it.
I'm failing to think of a bad example, and this is kind of a tangent, game, by the way. I apologize.
I know. Think of something like Dark Watch. Like, nobody cares.
Okay, yeah. Project Snowblind, was that the name of something?
Oh, yeah, that was supposed to be, like, a Deus Ex game, and it wasn't, and it's completely forgettable. It's not terrible, but it's not great.
Well, I will say that Breakdown is, if you give it enough chance, an unforgettable game. It's kind of generic in some spots, but then it's not, but then you wonder if it being not generic is a bad thing in some cases. I don't know, it's really weird to judge this game.
I really like these sort of cross-cultural games. It's sort of like, you know, walk into a Michael's store and pick up one of those How to Draw Anime books, and it's usually not particularly great.
Wow, that is some deep...
Yeah.
Goddamn, it's kind of like those How to Draw Manga books that are the worst thing that exists.
Some of them are okay, and this is one of the better ones.
Yeah, I love that this game exists. I love how unique it is and that it is a thing. I'm just not sure I love the actual game, and that's the part that counts the most, so...
It's rough, especially... I'm really frustrated by this game. I feel like it's a first-pass attempt at the game. I really wish it felt more like it had been refined and worked out. Like
it is lacking the polish department. It's pretty clear that
the people developing it had no real idea what they were doing. They were just kind of trying to feel it as it went along, and the end result... It shows...
So, $3.95, we have Far Cry, the original Far Cry.
I'm going to be honest, I'd rank this
PC one of that. PC Far Cry wasn't that bad. It wasn't my favorite, but it was okay.
I'm not a fan of Ubisoft, so I'm kind of biased, I'll be honest. If you want to rate Breakdown lower, you know, I guess...
But
I
that game, really that was the Crytek era. That was before Ubi.
Crysis did what it did, but much better, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's also true.
Fair. Wait, we ranked Zombie Nation 404? Well, that's an error. hit me.
Let's see. I mean, Nier...
I'm so
Nier, Nier is sort of, I guess, that's a pretty good equivalent, because it's another one of those games that's not good, but has a lot of cool things about it.
Yeah.
I would say Nier's better.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's Nier I also has its own dose of tedium and unrefinedness, but... It is such an emotional...
It's a little bit more workable than this game.
Yeah,
is.
Yeah.
Nier, and it led to an awesome sequel. The game goes.
Whereas Breakdown never got a sequel, so...
Would be nice to see this one as some sort of sequel. 350 is Blastomaster and Light Crusader? I don't think so. We're not putting it above those, are we?
I'd push it down, yeah.
All right. We're just trying to...
We're kind of getting down there, but, I mean...
The problem with this one is I hate playing this game. I like pretty much everything around it, but I hate playing it. This is a game where there's checkpoints like every 3 to 4 minutes because you're gonna die every 3 to 4 minutes because it's so rude about it. It's a cruel game. All right.
I am eyeing a game that is also, you know, frustrating and technically not good in its own right, but I can't like it anyway. I'm looking at Snake's Revenge at $3.85.
Yeah, that's below the Immortal. The Immortal's a close game to this one. It really is.
That's a good
point. Kind of very close.
Yes.
So, Silhouette Mirage is $3.91.
Never played it. I don't know what to
tell you. It's not Treasure's better efforts.
So I've heard, yeah.
I'm basically just I'm giving this game a lot of slack for basically being really interesting. There's nothing like it.
Yes.
For better and definitely.
Well, Duke Nukem 3D is the first person shooter that's kind of around this area, and this seems a little low for that. But Duke Nukem 3D is unquestionably a better first person shooter.
I think because Duke Nukem 3D just tail dives immediately into a bad game.
My God, we really.
And Alien vs. Predator 2000, which I didn't really play a lot of, but.
All right. So I guess replacing this below Far Cry.
Okay.
It is what it is.
Pulling this Command of Keen. I like the Knights of Crystallion. If we're going to keep falling, we're going to keep falling here.
Oh, dear.
You got me into the area of games that I like.
Yeah, we're entering the prize for showing up games, let's call
it. It's better than Cyborg Justice, so.
Okay, where's Cyborg Justice?
Cyborg Justice is one of those meaty-ass games that doesn't make any sense. So
439. I can stand to place it higher than that. We're getting closer.
Okay.
Narc?
I'm not putting it... Narc? Narc.
It's better than Narc.
Okay, let's get some crack up in here. $1 billion dead.
Bombjack and McDonald's Treasure Land Adventure.
If I'm not going to put this above something, I'm not putting this above The Pit. If I'm going to draw the line, it's going to be The Pit. I love The Pit.
So 430, 429?
Okay, well, it's Revolution X, Innsmouth no Yakata, Rampage? The arcade game? Huh. You know what? I hate Rampage. It's such a terrible game. I'll put it above Rampage.
Yeah, that's good.
All right, we're doing that because we are so far out of time. I can't believe we did this. Everyone's going to hate us. Thanks for listening to Breakdown, a game that isn't any good, but we've still put it at 433 above games like Rampage and ESWAT and Tale of the Sun. Excellent. That game's pretty good. But it's not as good as Breakdown, apparently. If you haven't played Breakdown, you haven't played a game like Breakdown, so that is impressive unto itself.
That's all for this episode. Special thanks goes out to our lovely co-hosts and compatriots, our booking agent Jeff Rude, our theme song MC Norm, check him out at Normally Retro on Twitter, and our technical assistant, video editor, and scriptwriter Ed Burns. You can support this podcast by making a small monthly donation at patreon.com/HG101. I know I did. By subscribing to the HG101 YouTube channel, and by following at GC9X and at HG_101 on Twitter. You can also hang out with us at our Discord channel. It's at bit.ly/HD Discord. But most importantly, help us spread the love of games by getting on iTunes, subscribing to HG101, and giving us a 5-star review. Do it because you like us and you want us to succeed. Until next time, keep keeping it real.